Okay, so we're learning Chovos HaLevavos, and we're trying to understand some of the unique approach that he that Rabbeinu Bachya develops there, as well as trying to contextualize that which he says in the larger world of Machshava. In Shar Avodas Elokim, the Rabbeinu Bachya tries to clarify what is an incredibly important question, which is what exactly should motivate us. What is supposed to motivate people in terms of their own worship of the Ribono Shel Olam? What's supposed to motivate a person in terms of their own Avodas Hashem? And he develops an idea which in many ways is very original. It's an idea that we will elaborate on and see what is a very strong critique of it from Rav Yehuda Amital, Ramital's father, post the Holocaust. But we'll begin by framing things in a way which is, I think, very, very important. The Mishnah tells us, we'll begin with some Mikoros that may be a little bit well known. We know that on the one hand, Torah demands of us to observe halacha, and Torah demands of us a certain fidelity to all that represents. At the same time, there are a variety of different perspectives a person could have while worshiping Hashem, and in terms of what exactly is motivating them, different things that could generate a desire within us to worship the Ribono Shel Olam. We know that there's something called lishma and lo lishma. Chazal referred to that not only in regard to Talmud Torah, but also in regard to mitzvos in general. There are ways to fulfill mitzvos in a way which is lishma, and there are ways to fulfill mitzvos in ways which is very much lo lishma. And part of the question becomes, what is the right and appropriate orientation? What is supposed to give a person or generate within a person a desire to fulfill Torah and mitzvos? The Mishnah in Avos, in a very well-known Mishnah in the beginning, so we're mekabel from Shimon HaTzadik, Kuya Omer, Al tiu ka'avadim v'msham t'nes harav, amanas ha'kabel pras, el habu ka'avadim v'msham t'nes harav, shalom amanas ha'kabel pras, yimor shamayim aleicha. That's supposed to be that we're supposed to worship Hashem, certainly not for reward or punishment. That's okay, maybe. That's in the category of lo lishma, probably. But it's not supposed to be the ideal. To worship Hashem just to get reward is not considered to be the real ideal. The Rishonim point out that we do have a bit of a stira. The Gemara is Shana and Daf Dalet. It's a Gemara also in Pesachim Baba Basra. V'hatanya, the Braisa taught HaOmer, Sela Zola Tzedaka. If a person gives tzedaka, Bishvil Sheyichyu B'ni, I give tzedakah so that my child will stay alive. Or if I give tzedakah bishvil she'ezke ba l'chayi olam haba, I give tzedakah so that I should be able to go into olam haba. Harezet tzadik gamar. So Gemara there seems to tell me that I am a complete tzadik. I am a tzadik gamar if I worship Hashem, even if the reason why I'm giving that tzedakah is in order to get reward. And to be shown in wonder just a little bit, I don't understand. Which is it? It's okay to worship Hashem for reward, and if I worship Hashem for reward, then I become a tzadik gamar, or more of what you see in the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, which is better not to worship Hashem for reward. Better to avoid that if at all possible. And we showed him give a couple of different resolutions, which will frame a little bit of the discussion for us to appreciate a little bit what it says in Chovos HaLevavos. But if you look at some Rishonim, Tosfos says, well, there's a difference. Tosfos says, it happens to be that for Jews, since even if we would say it's Kadesha Eske L'chaya Olam Haba, even if you would say it's so that you can get reward, so the Tosfos says, since in the end of the day, we still wouldn't regret doing it, we would still be happy with doing it, even if in the end of the day we wouldn't get that reward, so you know what, it's considered to be appropriate for us, not that big of a deal, you could still be a tzaddik. But, says Tosfos, if your worship of Hashem is entirely conditional on the reward, meaning, if part of the factor is reward, it's part of what motivates me. It's part of what moves me. But it's not ultimately what it's all about. So says Tosfos, that's fine. But if it's entirely about reward, to the extent to which you would regret it, the extent to which you would have hesitations about whether it was all worth it, so that would be considered much more of a problem. Reb Tzadok in Likutei Ma'amarim happens to go a little bit further, elaborating the Gemara. He uses this to really contrast in a very powerful way. Jews and non-Jews, that's very much not Maimonidean. Rambam wouldn't go there the same way. But for Tzadok, a very important distinction. Jews, because they always have this inner desire to worship Hashem anyway, so for them to have a bit more of a reward, punishment, or things like that, is considered to totally be okay and not be the biggest deal at all. You do find a variety of Mefarshim that give you insight, or at least provide insight, in a very interesting way. If you look at the Chiddushei Haran and Psachim, so what you find is something fascinating. You have it in the Medrash Shmuel also. I think I need this one. I think. I can give it to you once I'm done with it. Great. The the Medrash Shmuel and the Ran, where what you find this language is fascinating, which is maybe there are levels. Maybe there are many, many levels in terms of worship of God and proper motivation. It is true on some level, what the Gemara tells us, what in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, which is if you worship Hashem for reward, you can be a tzaddik gomer. You can be entirely righteous, no doubt about it. The Mishnah in Avos is trying to describe for us what is an even higher level. So there may be bad reasons to worship. A person only does it for kavod. You do it for respect. If you only do it for... So that's something which maybe isn't... That's really lo lishma. But you could be a tzaddik gomer if you do it just so that you get a degree of reward. But what Mishnah and Avos is describing is a higher level. Mishnah and Avos is describing a higher level which is really about being a chassid, some say, being even beyond the tzaddik of meeting all the letter of the law requirements. But a chassid who goes lifnim mishuras adin, who strives for even more, and a chassid, someone in that category, can be even more ambitious and even more successful. What is driving that person, if not reward and punishment? What's driving that person? So if you look in Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam writes, it's really in many ways, what can develop a person is not really yira, and it's not schar v'onesh, but it's ha'oved me'ahava, osek batorah uv'mitzvos, that a person does it because of a certain love that they cultivate, a love that they have for the Ribbono Shel Olam, not a childish kind of love, but a love which Rambam describes, which when you recognize the grandeur and the beauty of the world, a person gets impacted by a certain kind of exposure, a certain kind of exposure. And the Rambam writes here, very famously, and what really motivates you is not just a love of Hashem, aval osah ha'emes mipnei shehu emes. I do that which is appropriate because it is true. It is true, and Torah is true, and because Torah is true, that's the real motivator. It isn't about the fact that I'll get reward. It is true. Sof hatova lavo. It will eventually come. Reward will be there. But that's not the primary motivating factor at all. That's not what it's really considered to be about. So to frame the issue a little bit, what motivates a person, we see there are different levels as far as your own avoda, and what motivates a person ideally should be not reward and punishment, although if a person does, could be there in the category of tzaddik gomer, could be that they're really still in the category of tzaddik gomer, but maybe at the highest level. And in many ways, what should motivate us, the Rambam points out, is some combination of ahavas Hashem, a love of Hashem, which generates a desire to do for that person, those that we are in love with, we want to take care of, we want to fulfill what they would like, and that's a natural emotion that love sometimes engenders, and also to fulfill Torah mitzvot because osa emes mipnei shehu emes. You do that which is emes because it is emes, no more, no less. Parenthetically, there are reasons that point out. This is a good girsa to know. On the hareza tzadik gomer, the thing that's not really what the original girsa was. The original girsa was hareza tzedakah gemura, meaning I would have had a hava mina. If you give tzedakah for reward, it shouldn't count at all. It isn't even called tzedakah. It's the opposite extreme. The kamash malan is, no, it's still called tzedakah. It's still called tzedakah. But the girsa we have is that it's called tzadik gomer. That's the background. That's many of the sort of mainstream kind of makoros. Comes along with Rabbeinu Bachya and Chovas HaLevavos, and he embraces a very different idea. The Sefer Achinuch has it in a very limited context. Rav Dessler, just we have the summary here, because he says it very clearly, and then we'll develop in many ways what Rabbeinu Bachya has in Chovas HaLevavos. But the Sefer Achinuch is talking about the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, and the mitzvah of honoring our parents, and he wonders what is exactly Misharshei HaMitzvah, what's the time of the mitzvah, what exactly is the root, why is it so important for a person to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. What's behind Kibud Av V'Em? Okay, so there are a lot of different potential explanations, but the Sefer Achinuch says what's behind the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em is an element of Hakaras HaTov. That Hakaras HaTov, Sheroi La'adam Sheyakav Yigmal Chesed L'misha Asa Imotova. That our parents brought us into the world, our parents provide us with an enormous amount, and a person should have Hakaras HaTov. And he says, also says Sefer Achinuch, when you become, when you internalize the value of Hakaras HaTov, that actually becomes a little bit of a gateway. That if a person can appreciate their parents, a person can appreciate those that they see directly in front of them, provide them with certain things. So that's a midah which I should try to cultivate within myself in general. But says Sefer Achinuch, that's the rationale behind Kibud Av V'Em, is to have a certain kind of Hakaras HaTov, to have of Hakaras HaTov to parents. Rav Dessler Mehta Meliyahu says it out very strongly it's the approach of Rabbeinu Bachya that we'll elaborate on and try to develop, which is this following. Maybe it's not only kibbutz av aim, which is a mitzvah based on hakaras hatov, but maybe avodas hakel benuya al yisod hakaras hatov. All of divine worship, the whole reason, what motivates us to fulfill Torah and mitzvos, is just hakaras hatov, or at least hakaras hatov. Halo, ko mefurash hu b'chol sifrei hakodesh. That is found in all of the sifrei hakodesh. If Jake were here, we'd point out that. I don't know if it's in all the sifrei hakodesh. That sounds like a little bit of an ambitious, There are no holy books that don't say this. And, Sfarim HaKadoshim, however you define Sfarim HaKadoshim, I'm not sure that my money is on every single one, is going to be there. That's what we, the Mucker, Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, who points that out, that when in writing sometimes, you don't write things like, all Rishonim ask. Like, all Rishonim really ask? Like, the Rav Yeh was bothered by that. The Rial Mandari was, that's in his farm also. Like, all the Rishonim ask. Like, it's good to be a little bit more, But Professor Dessler, it's an all Sifrei HaKodesh, so we'll take him at his word on that. Asher al, other than the fact that we just know that we don't. Asher al ha'adam lehodos la'Hashem ha'tov, akol ha'tov asher ya'aseh lo. That a person, really, Hashem provides us with an enormous amount of things in this world, and because God provides us with so much, that is v'chi b'shvilam alav l'kayim es kol ha'mitvos v'achukim v'atoros. Because of that, we should worship Hashem. Again, we're going to see a critique of this perspective a little bit later, as some of us may even be able to intuit. That is really the perspective of Chovos HaLevavos. Let's try to develop it in sources 10, 11, and 12 on the sheet. We'll try to say out most of it outside. It's an incredibly, it's a very methodical sefer. So he writes, we already spoke about Shar HaYichud. We spoke about belief in Hashem. And we spoke about some of the good things Hashem does for us. And says the Chovos HaLevavos, now it happens to be, starting point, source number 10, we all need a degree. Ach tzorech el ha'ara al avor Hashem v'chalkehahu. A person of Rosh Hashem needs a degree of hisoverus, an element of a certain kind of chizak, a certain kind of support or awakening that a person needs in their avodas Hashem. Now, when he says chizak, he is a medieval philosopher. He does not mean, he's not talking here about kumzitzis, he's not talking about a powerful musar shmus. He is talking here very much about a certain kind of orientation intellectually that we'll elaborate on. But taking it out of context, he certainly does speak about the importance of hisoverus. Mivnei. He contrasts two very different ways that you could worship Hashem and what could motivate you. What he calls Derech HaSeichel and what he refers to as Derech HaTorah. Now, Derech HaTorah he views as being secondary, not because he is downplaying the significance of Torah, because he has a particular orientation in terms of what your Seichel is really all about. What intellect, how intellect is supposed to motivate you. So what he develops is the following idea. Derech HaTorah, he suggests, or what he means when he says Derech HaTorah, is really Schar and Onesh. When you go through Chumash, when you look at a lot of Ma'amari Chazal, the impression that you get is, V'haya, if you keep the bracha, so then good things happen. Klala, bad things happen. V'haya, im shamoa tishmu. And if you're not, V'yavarat me'heira me'al ha'aretz. The perspective of Chumash, in many ways, is an avodas Hashem, albeit silent about schar ve'ones la'asid lavo, at least potentially for many mefarshim, does give over a strong impression of avodas Hashem is about reward and punishment. When you look at even from the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, Adam, first sin, so that is, you read Chumash, what's the problem with sin? Well, look at the fallout of sin. If you sin, this is what happens. And in many ways, a lot of Chumash gives you that orientation. If I just look at Chumash, I look at certain Ma'amari Chazal, that's the impression that you get. That mitzvos equals good things will happen, aveiros equal bad things will happen. You'll lose Eretz Yisrael, all the klala and parshas kisavo, all that stuff is what he refers to as Derech HaTorah. He writes, however, there is Derech HaSeichel. Derech HaSeichel is what a person should logically be able to come to on their own. That is as follows. If you know that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam, and a person has within themselves an awareness, a sensitivity, a certain sort of, because I'm cognitive of the fact that God has provided me with so much, so then, logically, I must come along and I must repay that. That Hakaras HaTov is just a basic mida found in man, that if someone provides me something, so I respond and I say thank you for that which you provide. That is logic. It's a compelling way to live life. And if God has provided me with so much more, So all the more so, it's appropriate to respond in a certain way. So just like if a person is poverty stricken and someone gives them tzedakah, so it's appropriate to respond. I don't need a source in Chumash for how do I know it's appropriate to say thank you. That's a midah which should be built into man. That kind of hakaras hatov. So too, if the Ribono Shel Olam provides us so much more than that, it becomes all the more valuable. I have these two paths, Derech HaTorah and Derech HaSeicha. Says the Chovos HaLevavot, says the Minibachia, both of them are important. However, one of them is greater. Derech HaSeicha is much greater than reward and punishment. Fulfilling mitzvot because I am indebted to Hashem is greater. Why is it greater? So he gives off seven reasons why it is greater. Seven reasons why it's greater. We're not going to go through all of them at all. But one of them he writes is, if I'm doing it for reward or punishment, so it could be it'll be L'shem Shamayim. It could be it's not L'shem Shamayim. It could be it's not going to have that the kind of intent that is actually that appropriate. Maybe I'm really, it's not that it's like I have a muna and I'm just scared. I'm just scared, nothing more, nothing less. It's all self-serving in a certain sense. It's all about protecting myself. And that's a lower form of kavana. But a kavana which stems from recognizing just how great God is. So when it stems from just how great God is, so then I'm able to, that's a higher level intent. He says an additional point, which is I think very, very powerful. Things we do if we're scared of someone, if it's only about reward and punishment, it tends to be very, very external. It's like if you are in a scene, you're in the army and you're not a sofer in the army. You're like, you know, in the army. So if you are, if you're there and you're mifakeh, the guy that's in charge of you is instructing you what to do. So I listen to everything he says because I'm scared of what the punishment may be. Could be true for you also. I don't know. But I listen to him because I'm scared of what the fallout's going to be. When you do that in many ways, as Rabbeinu Bachya, actions that are motivated by fear of punishment or potential of reward are almost never actually like internalized. I do it only because I'm scared. I do it, I want to perform certain actions so I won't get in trouble. But it doesn't have the same kind of inner feeling of gratitude, inner feeling of L'shem Shamayim that I would ideally want it to have. As opposed to, when it comes to, you do it because it comes from the inside out. I really believe this person is deserving. Believe that you're, if you're in the art, you believe that he is deserving of your kavod. That guy that's like a year older than you, maybe. Is he not for an officer's course, right? That's like the standard kind of thing?
My officer was younger than you.
Okay, exactly. So he's a guy who's younger than you that just happens to have not, you know, he chose the non-Hesder track. So now he's there. And you're saying like, is he objectively worthy of significantly more kavod? Like, well, if he asked for it, how could I not listen? No. He could just get me in trouble, so I do what he says. And that's fine. That's totally fine. But if you would have a degree of gratitude towards a person, if a grandparent asked it, and I appreciate that what they've done for me in my life, so then when I do it, it doesn't stem from the fear. My 92-year-old grandmother is not going to be like, I'm not scared of her. But rather, what I am is I want to be motivated because I have a debt of gratitude for all that she did. In the Chos of Avos land, in truth, it may be more, it stems from a certain kind of ahava, but something along those lines. So, now, that we'll get to in a minute or so, but happens to be, Sefer Chinuch says that, not really the Rebbeinu Bachya, but we'll get there. However, says Rebbeinu Bachya, that is true as far as the ideal. But we all also need the Derech HaTov. We all need a little bit of reward and punishment in our lives also. We all need it. No accountability whatsoever. It just comes from our own higher level motivations. It's not going to last that long, especially for him, because it comes from the Seichel. And that's because of the way that man's created. It is very, very hard. It is very hard to use your intellect 24/7. It's very, very hard. Seichel is more abstract. And even though we may dedicate a lot of our lives towards cultivating our intellect, a lot of our day-to-day life is not about focusing as much on Seichel. A lot of life, just in order to live, has to be, and it's not even talking about like you're working later in life. Even when you're in yeshiva, a lot of life is also just about physical survival. I need to eat food. And when I'm eating food, it's not an intellectual endeavor. When you have to like analyze the food and break it down and things like that. That's fair. But it's not like an intellectual endeavor per se, especially for most of us. We're not like, you know, like, oh, they balance the acidity really well in here. Like most of us are not going there in our breakdown of how we eat. my daughter Shira is like is into some of these like cooking things, so she like will do that sometimes. You know, like you give her something and she's like, you know, and then she like tastes it a little bit and comments as if she's like a judge on one of those like you know, like shows, like Abba was not bad, but next time I'd recommend, you know, like things like that. But for most of us, not per se an intellectual endeavor. It's enjoyable. It's enjoyable, and in many ways it's physical. And many activities we do are physical, and that's how the world has to sustain itself that way. Because of that, seichel as the only motivator becomes very challenging. Even things that we know are right without the additional, the additional motivation of reward or punishment, of something which is speaking in many ways to the guf. It speaks to that part of ourselves which is a little bit more materialistic and is a little bit more focused on physicality. And to speak to that part is something which is very, very powerful. So we opened up by talking about being Mishamish Sarav Shalom and Asakab Pras. What we see though are a couple interesting things. Number one, maybe different levels, and maybe the higher levels relate to Ahava or MS and Neshu MS. But for Rabbeinu Bachya, there are definitely levels. You find something which is interesting, which is Avodas Hashem has, on the one hand, the world of Schar Ve'onesh is real. In many ways, it has to be there. Just it can't be the only thing which is there. But we do need an element of accountability. Those of us without accountability, so even if I believe in many things, without the potential fallout, if I don't do this, don't do that, so it's not always going to do it, you know, as much as I would like. So as an example, I mean this as a cute example. My wife and I are not fantastic at giving anniversary presents to each other. I claim it's because she's the worst liar in the world. If you get her a gift and she doesn't like it, she has a very hard time like hiding that. So we've shifted how we do presents more or less about like clarifying in advance what does she want and things like that. It makes it a little bit less powerful, but it actually like functions that way on some level. What motivates a person, or let's go over it this way, what motivates a person to get a Mother's Day gift for your mother? So hopefully it's a combination. On one level, it would be a debt of gratitude, which would always motivate. But if we were being honest for a moment, one of the things which probably motivates us a little bit is the potential fallout if you don't. It exists there. We don't want it to exist there. It's part of, it's not what we want to have. But sometimes a little bit of accountability, a little bit of fallout, that's not the worst thing in the world. If it's only about that, so that's a problem. It's like the learning, the Rav Hutt learning stuff on Shabbos. No one is coming to the Beis Medrash because there's a chance that now if I learn, maybe I will get a particular sefer. At least on a week when it's like a regular sefer, it's not like a set of like ritva or something. We're there, but no, what is it? I want to do it anyway, but a little bit of reward is something which can help me do that which I know I should already be doing anyway. And in many ways, that's what it is for Rabbeinu Bachya. Comes along Rav Yehuda Amital. Rav Amital's father, founding of Shiva of Gush, was a Holocaust survivor. A Holocaust survivor. Happens to be an amazingly original thinker. And very, very different. He's Rosh Yeshiva in Gush, along with Rav Lichtenstein. Lichtenstein we tend to be much more familiar with because we quote him a little bit more often. They have very, very different personalities. Rav Lichtenstein was a little bit more systematic and methodical in the way he went about things. Sort of kind of like comprehensive analysis, even in his Gemara Shirim, were more of like a comprehensive analysis, an overview of a topic as a whole. Rami Tal published a couple of volumes of his father's Shirim. It's more about like strokes of brilliance, very sharp insight here, very sharp insight there. Rav Amital was a very powerful speaker. If you watch ever on YouTube, like he was funny also. And Rav Amital had these great insights and great maises, and it wasn't as sort of like methodical of an overview of a topic, but it was sharp insights that could really orient you in a certain way. He writes, there's a sefer that came out, Rav Amital on the Holocaust, the impact of the Holocaust. And Rav Amital points out that there is a perspective out there. He quotes Jehovah's Halavavos, and he quotes Rav Dessler, that views Avodas Hashem as being predicated on Hakaras HaTov. And he writes the following, I'm sorry that you don't have the marker in front of you, but he quotes a Maisa just to formulate things a little bit. His first Yom Kippur after being liberated from a Nazi labor camp. I prayed with other survivors in a cramped cellar. I can't fully describe the storm of emotion I felt then, but I will try to reconstruct some of that feeling. It's right after all, they're all there. These people were like broken at that point in time. When I was in Lakewood last Friday visiting my grandmother, she was describing to me how, those of you that know Yaakov Feldstein, if anyone knows him, so my were cousins, and his grandfather came over after the war, lived at my great-grandparents' house, and my grandmother was describing, this is even like a year or two after the war, still needing to like feed him afterwards. They were really like a broken physically, in many ways broken emotionally. It's Yom Kippur right after liberation. I was young then, said Amital, I had no children. My parents had been murdered along with most of the population of our town. Among the survivors in that room, there were people who had lost their children, parents, spouses, and siblings. They prayed, and I with them. Was their worship of God based on gratitude? Did it come from Hakaras HaTov? Can a Jew who has lost his wife and children possibly serve God on the basis of recognition of his kindness? Can a Jew whose job was the removal of the charred remains of corpses from the crematory of Auschwitz be capable of serving God on the basis of gratitude? No, not in any way, shape, or form. But where then does that leave us? So Ramital, a very powerful perspective, points out like this. The model that embraces Hakaras HaTov as an attempt, as the basis of Avodas Hashem, Rav Amital suggests, has a challenge. The challenge it has to deal with are those of us, and he uses the most extreme example, those of us that have experienced unfathomable tzara, like survivors of the Holocaust. Those who have lost their families entirely, to tell them, have a debt of gratitude to the Ribono Shel Olam, that's why you should worship Hashem. That's something which is very, very difficult. Very, very difficult to be able to have in and of itself. It's a perspective which works for those that can experience a certain degree of Hakaras HaTov. But Hakaras HaTov, as far as a person practically feeling that, at moments when they are really broken, so says Rav Amital, that is a very, very difficult emotion to try to argue should really be motivating you in your Avodas Hashem. He therefore argues very strongly for a very different approach. The approach that Rav described earlier in Hakaras HaTov, which is we osa emes, mipnei shehu emes. What motivated survivors in the year after liberation to sit there and to daven in the Holocaust was not the Chovas HaLevavos perspective. It was not that at all. It was that after the devastation of the Holocaust, it can't be that was about. Divine service must be built on truth. He gave the shmooze originally in Hebrew, but the English translation was online, and the Hebrew I couldn't find at home. Was built not on falsehood or fawning flattery. That it's really about truth. It's really about truth. Of course, he says, Hakaras HaTov is always important. We say modim every single day. We say modeani. We express our Hakaras HaTov for that which we do have. But as far as that being the primary motivator, there's always going to be a need for something else. There's always going to be a need for something else, which is osa emes, mibnei shu emes. He points out, Rav Amital, and here's which is important, I would add an additional. He points out that even Chovas HaLevavos, in Rabbeinu Bachya, does not view Hakaras HaTov as the only motivator. We would note he views Schar Ve'ones as an important motivator also, what he calls Derech HaTorah. He views that as an important motivator. Something else also, which he views as a motivator, which is Ahavas Hashem. The same Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, so later on in Chovas HaLevavos, Rabbeinu Bachya comes to that also, which is about cultivating a certain kind of relationship, where it's divine love which stems not from gratitude, but one that requires cultivating a degree of emunah. That if you want to be able to appreciate, says Rav Amital, Avodas Hashem, and you want the form of Avodas Hashem, which is going to be able to withstand certain challenges in life, certainly major challenges in life, so that it has to stem not only from Hakaras HaTov, but from a kind of emunah, an emunah in the Ribono Shel Olam, that gives me the ability to say, Osa Emes, Neshu Emes, that can cultivate a degree of Avas Hashem as well, that can stem from that. I want to chaz what we said and note, I think, one or two additional points, one of them from Rami Tal, one of them not. What motivates a person? What is supposed to be our orientation in striving for a certain kind of success or greatness or excellence when it comes to the world of Torah and mitzvos? Reward and punishment undoubtedly play a role. It is not the ideal, but it plays a role. For Rabbeinu Bachya, it's even necessary to have an element of that, and that is why Chumash emphasizes that element of Avodas Hashem so frequently. Do it, great. If not, not. Bracha, good. Kala, not. That all of those things become very important in terms of cultivating a certain kind of attitude. However, there are higher levels as far as what's supposed to motivate a person. For the Rambam, it's about Osa Emes, Esu Emes, and a certain cultivating a form of Avas Hashem. I love God, and therefore I want to do for God. Or it's Emes. Mitzvos are real, and therefore I want to do it because there is a God who created the world, who told me to do it, and therefore I'm going to do it. It's what the right thing to do is. Nothing more, nothing less, not about reward or anything else like that. For Rabbeinu Bachya, and if Dessler elaborates on this, but for Rabbeinu Bachya really extensively trying to argue that a minimum, a core defining element of our Avodas Hashem is that of Hakaras HaTov. To look around and appreciate, which requires pausing and reflecting, to appreciate that which we have received in our lives. And two, parents, as Sefer HaChinuch describes, friends in those situations where it's undoubtedly warranted, and most certainly and most powerfully, Hakaras HaTov to Ribono Shel Olam, who has provided so much by creating a world in which we are able to thrive. Ramital points out, though, that it's not always so simple, and that for many of us, Hakaras HaTov as the only value won't get us through in times of challenge. That sometimes I have to still look for the good whenever it can be there, but what will motivate me in situations like that is either the Derech HaTorah of Schar V'Onash or the Osa Emes, Mipnei Shehu Emes. I want to end with just two observations. Ramital points out something which is very fascinating. We're all familiar with the phenomenon of Holocaust deniers, of those that deny that the Holocaust happened, or if it did, it took place in a much smaller scale. Ramital wrote in the beginning of this piece in a very powerful way that Holocaust denial, so obviously that's terrible. He notes that there's an element, though, of removing Holocaust from our divine, from our awareness that is very much present, even in those communities that obviously recognize what happened in the Holocaust. That in the frum world sometimes, that we can talk about ideas and forget about the impact of a Holocaust of 60 years earlier. And different kinds of, you'll hear this in different speakers and see it in different svarim, how much the Holocaust becomes something which people talk about all the time, how much the Holocaust becomes a topic which really is sort of like in our consciousness, and how much it really is. There's enough to Moshe Weinberger. There's a lot of Holocaust going on in the way that he speaks. You hear about it a lot. For me, it was a major shift when I married into my wife's family. My grandparents were all born in America. My wife's grandparents are all born in Europe, and three out of four, if not even the four, I don't know how you count the survivor. If your whole family, you know, gets whatever, but you were never actually there because you escaped like a little bit earlier. Is that called a survivor? I don't know. Maybe technically not, but his family was murdered. So you're dealing with three out of the four who are real survivors, where it becomes much more of like the conversation and much more just how you perceive things. There are a lot of questions that have emerged post the Holocaust. One thing that Rav Amital points out is that the form of avodah, certainly for survivors, but also for those who are cognizant of just the struggles that have taken place for world Jewry over the last whatever it is, it's not surprising that Hakaras HaTov on its own may not be that simple. Elements of Hakaras HaTov for sure, to be able to identify Hakaras HaTov in our lives is something which is very, very important, but to be cognizant of and aware of the fact that there are elements that are still not that great and I still have to keep Torah mitzvos. Torah is not about, it's not your guide to happiness. It's your guide to do that which is emestic. Torah is not only about keeping us happy. Avelus is not an attempt at making us happy. Avelus is an attempt at teaching us how to experience emotions in the way that emotions are supposed to be felt. And that's what Torah is really all about. It's about emes b'nei shehu emes. And Hakaras Tov is important. Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar writes here, is important to be able to cultivate a degree of Hakaras HaTov, and the midah of Hakaras HaTov is something which is very, very important, but to be able to do so in a way which can withstand also some of the challenges which may take place in life. The last thing I would say is just to end on a particular point. Hakaras HaTov happens to be something which Rav Huttner writes, I believe in at least one context, is one of the distinguishing characteristics between those people he encountered that were truly great and those that weren't. To be able to have Hakaras HaTov, to, as I think Rabbi Benovitz often likes to point out, Hakaras HaTov at its core is the first step is just to be makir, just to recognize the good that someone has done for you, even before the thank yous and even before anything else. Just to be able to be makir, just to recognize the good that has been done for you is so, so important. In a world in which lots of things are provided for us, so Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar writes in Chovos HaLevavos, the shift from childhood to adulthood, the shift is, in your child, there isn't the intellectual recognition of the importance of Hakaras HaTov, I just take. And in many ways in life, the tekufa that we are in life is about a transition from being in a scene right now where many, many things are provided for you. Many things are provided for you. And when things are provided for you all the time, sometimes there can be a little bit of a lack of appreciation of all that is provided for us and all that is done for us. The first step sometimes is to reflect. Whether it should be the primary motivation for all of Avodas Hashem, as Rav Dessler and Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar argue, machlokas. Whether a person should cultivate in them sense of Hakaras HaTov, of appreciation for those that have allowed us to be where we are and provide for us, be that, again, a variety of figures along the way. And there are many sometimes that get forgotten along the way. That be that certain family members of our community that have been there and have been able to provide that is one of the midos that is really, as Rav Huttner writes, distinguishes those, I think he says, are I think his line is like Tamidi Chachamim Amitim, like authentic, real Torah scholars. You see a degree of Hakaras HaTov, and for us to cultivate that is undoubtedly something which is very, very important. So we spoke a little bit today about Avodas Hashem and what motivates us in particular for Bnei Bachya, and certainly just some of the models that are out there become very important. We try to cultivate our own particular approach to the nature of Avodas Hashem. Hope everyone has a really wonderful Shabbat.